Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord.
If you would, you want to follow along, turn to Psalms 139. The 139th Psalm. I'm going to begin reading in verse 13. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. I'm going to stop right there. That's what I want to speak on today, if I can. God's thoughts. God's thoughts. I have been pondering. I thought about saying mulling, but Tim James uses that word. So I've been pondering. It's pretty much the same thing. I have been pondering about the thoughts of God for a while. Because to be honest, I suppose it's been for about 37 years now. Now, I know a lot more than when I started. However, I also know that that's not saying much. But I can say to you today that I knew it all. Because of one thing. 37 years ago, he revealed himself to me and I knew him. And right today, none of that's changed. Everything else that I have learned from this book, from his preachers, from studying, from pondering his word, shows me the same thing. Jesus Christ is God. Because I'm sure you might be familiar with the statement, the further I go, the behinder I get. Well, that's the way some of my pondering seems to take. It becomes more true as I study. The more that I learn of God, the more that I learn of Christ, the more that I learn of the Holy Spirit, the more that I learn I need to learn. Because here's the thing. The riches of Christ are truly unsearchable. That wasn't a joke. That wasn't just an adjective somebody threw in there. That's the way it is. The unsearchable riches of Christ. I have glimpses, fathoms, depths that I don't understand, Walter. And I've come to understand that there are fathoms and depths that I don't know anything about. I don't even have an inkling of their existence. Because the more that I learn, the more that I learn is that I am nothing but an earthen vessel. I'm a clay pot, and some days a leaky clay pot. a forgetful clay pot. However, here we have the words of David in verse 17. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. Precious. Paul spoke on that a couple weeks ago. The word keeps coming up in the scriptures. Precious. And it's a good word. When you're dealing with the things of God, the things of Christ, and the things of the Holy Spirit, precious is a very good word. Because what does it mean? Well, here in the Hebrew, it means two words. It means valuable. And here's a funny thing. Rare. It's rare. Now, they are valuable just for the simple fact that David's talking about the thoughts of God. They are of infinite value. We don't know how valuable they are. We get a glimpse of them, but that's about it. But his thoughts are precious. They're valuable in that they're perfect, they're holy, they're righteous, and they're good. But his thoughts are rare. Not rare in the sense of scarcity. There's not a lack of God's thoughts. There's only one source of God's thoughts. That's the rarity. There's only one source of a knowledge of God, and guess what? That ain't you. It ain't me. It's not Walter. It's God. Valuable and rare are the thoughts of God unto me. God is the source of all that is truly precious. Lamentations 4 and 2 says this. God is the source, is what I said. The precious sons of Zion, comparable to fine gold. How are they esteemed as earthen pitchers? But wait a minute. The work of the hands of the potter. The only reason the sons of Zion are precious is because they're the work of the hands of the potter. But they are precious. They are precious. Precious are his thoughts. And precious are the sons of Zion. Because here's the thing. Believers are precious in the sight of God. We're not boasting. I'm not boasting. I'm not talking about how good and wonderful you are. Although to me, you people are good and wonderful. But that doesn't count for anything with God. The only preciousness about us, including myself, is the work of the potter. Is the work of the potter. Hath not the potter power over the clay, who's able, willing, and powerful enough to make of the same lump one vessel unto honor and another vessel unto dishonor. You understand? The difference is the work of the potter. The preciousness is in the work of the potter. Now, I know some people, and it becomes evident, you've been around them, I'm sure, who have a tendency to think that they're a little precious in themselves. They're wrong. Now, I'll confess, I was there. And sometimes I might get a little stupid in my thoughts still. But this is the thing. There is nothing precious in man naturally. Naturally. Jeremiah tells us in Lamentations, they are precious, but they're still earthen vessels. They're still earthen vessels. But thank God, the sons of Zion, believers, the congregation of God, the true congregation of God, the church of Jesus Christ, is the work of the hands of the potter. believers are precious. Why? Because they are in Christ Jesus. They have like precious faith. His faith. They have precious promises in Christ Jesus. They are redeemed by His precious blood. And they are precious in God's sight because they are on His precious cornerstone. They are on the sure foundation. They are on the precious Son of God. But here, precious are also thy thoughts. And this is David saying that the thoughts of God are precious to the believer. In this day where we are surrounded by people who are so flippant about the Word of God, you wonder if anything's precious to them. And I can answer that because I used to be one of them. And the answer is no. Ain't nothing precious to an unbeliever except that unbeliever. You understand? I've been reading some British novels. I don't know why, but I like them. Here's the thing. They have a tendency to mention the Church of Scotland and the Church of England in there. And they ask these religious questions every once in a while in these things. And he says, why do good things or bad things happen to good people, right? Or why do good things happen to bad people? The one answer this person keeps putting forth every now and then, he'll just throw it out there and say, well, that's where blind faith comes in. And I thought, what? The one thing that faith is not is blind. It's not. You talked about it last week. The man who was blind from birth, the Lord Jesus Christ gave him his sight. And then he gave him someone to see. And he revealed himself to it. You understand? We sing that song, blind unbelief is sure to err and scan his works in vain. That's the truth. Unbelief is blind. Faith ain't blind. If you think there's blind faith, you don't know what faith is. Anyhow, His thoughts are precious. The thoughts of God are precious. Why? Well, I can tell you exactly one reason why here. I got a couple, but I wanted to tell you this one. The thoughts of God save. The thoughts of God save His people. Look at, if you want to follow along, Isaiah chapter 55. Seek ye the Lord, this is verse 6, while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Then what does He say? Why is this possible? For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth, and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, what? So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. You seek him, call upon him while he is near, and God will have mercy on the wicked. God shall pardon the unrighteous. Folks, that's us. That's us. Now, granted, you're not going to turn to him until he's come to you. We'll get to that in just a minute, but I want to throw it in there now. Because here's the thing. Seeking him doesn't make you not wicked. Calling upon his name does not make you righteous. God makes you righteous. What? My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. His thoughts are different than mine. Because why? He's got mercy for the wicked. He has grace for the unlovely, for the ungodly, for the unrighteous sinner that I am. You understand? If I was God, I wouldn't have anything to do with me. That's the kind of person I am. You understand? People who are wicked, people who are unrighteous and unrighteous, wicked, to me, I stay away from. And that's just the way I am. God sought us out when we were his enemies. His thoughts are not my thoughts. His ways are not my ways. His thoughts are so different from mine to where I can't understand half of them. Jeremiah tells us this. Because you will never, I said it, you will never seek the Lord until he thinks about you. Amen. Thy thoughts are precious unto me. Jeremiah 29, verses 10 through 14, it says, for thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place. Now, yes, I understand this is talking about the captivity, but I also understand this is talking about how God deals with his people, his chosen people in Christ. Verse 11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. What? Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Now, this ain't the end you're expecting. This is the end God's expecting. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and then I will hearken unto you. But you understand what came first to that? God's thoughts. God's thoughts. That's where God's thoughts are precious unto me. And here's the greatest thing yet. And ye shall seek me and find me. Oh, that is amazing. When ye shall search for me with all your heart. In verse 14, and I will be found of you. Now, how in the world is that possible? That us, red worms, maggots, nothing less than the small dust of the balance, God's going to let us find him. You know how it's possible? It's only possible because of God's thoughts toward you are of peace. God's thoughts are precious. Then I will be found of you, and I will bring you home. And that's why I'm saying, The thoughts of God save. Yeah. Thy thoughts are precious. Let me show you. Well, you don't have to turn there, but 1 Corinthians is where I'm going. Chapter 2. The last verse, verse 16. Because I remember reading this verse, Walter, decades ago. And it amazed me then. And I'm still amazed today. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Well, the answer is nobody. But Paul continued on. This is the amazing part to me. We have the mind of Christ. Now, look at that word, and it means it's not we have Christ's mind. It says we have the understanding of Christ. And he's the one that gave us the understanding. You can find that at the end of Luke. It's not hard to find. You just look for it. Then he opened their understanding of the scriptures. And listen, if he's opened your understanding of the scriptures, he's opened your understanding of the scriptures speaking about him. You know, it's not that, oh, I know what the candelabra looked like now. Or not a candlestick, not candelabra. Oh, I know what the mercy seat looked like now. No, I don't. I've seen it on TV, but that don't count. He has given us his spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And his spirit takes the things of him, of Jesus Christ, and shows them unto us. How? In his word. In his word. He gave us the word too. This whole book right here from beginning to end is the thoughts of God. Whether we know it or not, whether anyone knows it or not. Oh, they are precious, they are valuable, rare thoughts of the Lord, and they are toward his people. I think thoughts of peace, which is, you know, that's glorious right there. But he says, I think thoughts of peace to you and to you. And to you. That's an amazing work of grace right there. He thinks thoughts of peace toward me and not evil. What do you mean? Not what I deserve. Not what I deserve. Oh. Then you'll seek me. And not before. Oh, you can pretend. You can fake it. You can go to churches seeking. But not this kind of seeking. Not till he thinks toward you. Then I'll be found of you. Who hath known the mind of the Lord? Verse 10 of Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians 2. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. What? The things that God has prepared for us. Oh, but as is written, I hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And some people want to stop right there. Paul didn't stop right there. He said, but God's revealed them to us. How? By Spirit and by his word. Yea, the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now, right now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. He may hear them, he may be taught them, he may even write a scholarly paper on it. But he says he can't know them, for they are spiritually discerned. For who hath known the mind of God? But we have the mind of Christ. We've received the Spirit of God that we know what God has given to us freely. The same thoughts of God that we are thankful for. The same thoughts of God that we try to preach forth to the natural man, those thoughts of God are foolishness.
Right.
And that's the best I can do for you. They react in two ways. It's either a stumbling block or it's foolishness, depending upon whether you're religious or not, or how religious you are.
Right.
Because trust me, the more religious people are, the more offended they will be. And the stumbling stone becomes a brick wall and they'll ram their heads right into it. To the point where they will deny the Scripture boldly. I've heard it done. I've seen it done. They've done it to me. That doesn't say that. Well, that doesn't mean that. Or my God wouldn't do that. My God's a gentleman, Walter. But listen, here's the beautiful thing here from David, the words of David. What? Thy thoughts. Wait a minute. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me. Unto me. Unto me. You're saying this isn't dry doctrine to David.
No.
You're saying this is not dusty systematic theology. Now, I got nothing against doctrine. I got nothing against theology. But I think Walter said it last week. Doctrine and theology aren't going to save you. Matter of fact, they might do you more harm than good without knowing Christ. Well, they will. Everything will. Because doctrine and theology are of no value without him. Because David is saying right here that this is his personal, living, given faith in action. In action. Thy thoughts are precious unto me, O God.